So we're going to begin here on the top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph by the two dots. Kiyotzeh Belo Yochal Azav. Tanya. Shimon Elazar Omer Bo'ur E. Adhechen Partza Tehara B'Yisrael. Look how widespread the keeping of Tahara is amongst Klal Yisrael. Because Shalosha Ninu, our mission doesn't say Lo Yochal Tahor Im HaTmeyah. There's no requirement from the mission that a Tahor separate from a Tmeyah. Lo Yochal Azav Im Azava. The Zav should not eat with the Zava Mipnei Hergel Avera. As Rashi points out, the reason that the mission doesn't have to mention Torah and Tmeyah, because Kulan Uchlim Chulin Bitara Hayu. Everybody was makpid to eat their Chulin Bitara, Lo Yochulim Inishotayim Tmeyot. And therefore, there's no reason to be gozer that they shouldn't eat with their wives when they are Tmeyin. So when we have a Tahor and a Tamei, there's no reason for a Gzerah, because they were already being makpid on that. They're already separating themselves. The only thing the Mishnah addresses is in a case where they're both Tmeyim. You have a Zav and a Zava where they're both Tmeyim, where you otherwise would have thought maybe they could eat together. Mishnah says, no, Zera, Harchalta, that they shouldn't eat together because of Hergel Avera. But from that, Rabbi Shimon Lezer points out, Adhechen Partza Tahara B'Yisrael, look how widespread, how accepted the Tahara was B'Yisrael, that nobody had to even talk about that, or nobody had to put in a Zera, that a Tahor will not eat with the Tamei, a man with his wife, when she is a Nida. Kiyotzubo, Lo Yuchal Zab Parush, Im Zab Amaretz. So here again, you have two individuals who are at Tmeim, so you thought maybe they could eat together, but we have a Zab Parush, or a Chaver, and a Zab Amaretz. Why? Shem Yargileno Itzlo. Because he'll maybe become common or accepted practice to eat with him. V'chi Margilo Itzlo Mayavi. What's wrong with eating with him? Elena Shem Yachileno Dvarim Tmeim. Says maybe he's going to feed him things that are Tmei. It says, Atu Zab Parush Lav Dvarim Tmeim Achil. So even the Zav Chaver is Tamei. He's only going to eat Tamei things, and even if he doesn't eat, if he gets something Torah, he'll make it Tamei. So what's the problem with Tuma? Because maybe he will give him some things that do not have the Trumot or Masrot taken off of them. Shivrova Mar, Rova Meyaretz, Masri name. Wait a minute. Most Ameyaretz are taking off their Trumot Mosot. Ella Sheme He Ragiletzlo, Yechilenu Dvarim Tmeim Bimei Tarato. So the reason that you would get together with this individual is because you're both Tmeim right now. So since you're both Tmeim right now, you would think, okay, let's eat together because there's no difference between us. What about Trumot Masrot? The Gemara cites the statement that Rova Ameyaretz in general took off Trumot Umasrot. So we're not going to worry about that. So what is there to worry about? What's to worry about is after the fact. After you become Tahor, and then you're going to get back together with this Amaretz. You became good friends while you were Tmeim, while you were Zavin, and now you're going to eat with them. He's going to provide you items that are Tmeim. In order to protect against that, they said don't eat when you're Tamei, so that you don't end up eating when you are Tahor. Now this position of Rov Ameyaretz Masri name is very interesting, because Yochanan Kohen Gadol, we know from the Gemara and Sota, sent out messengers and found out that everybody was taking off Truma Gdola, but by the Masrot it wasn't so clear that everybody was taking them off, mostly the problem being Truma Maaser, which involves a Mita Didei Shemaim with it from the Maaser Rishon. You have to separate Truma Maaser, which has the same status as Truma. And over there, the Gemara says that he was Gozer al Adamai. He was Gozer that any Tua that came from Amaretz is Besafek, whether they took off the Trumot or Masrot. So the answer is that, truthfully, there was a Rov. The Rov did take off Masrot. But there was what Tosafot calls a Miut that was Shchiach. A Miut that was very common that didn't. And we know this from Gemara and other places. Rov shows up in different places. You can have a Rov that's 51%, and you can have a Rov that's 85-90%. So when the Gemara says Roba Ame Aretz Masrini, and Tosu points out that Tech probably is lower on the 50-60%, not up at the 80-90% range. And because then it's a Miyot Ashkiach or Miyot Matsui, which is that you have 40-45% of the people not taking up Miyot Masrot, therefore they were gozer that any Demai you have to separate off Misafek in order to protect against any violation of eating Trumat Maser that would involve a Chiyu Bidei Shemayim or a Tevel. But over here, in terms of Hergel of to get together with them, here the Gemara is going to say that that's not a reason to make a gzeira. If they're ready, Rov Ameyaretz and Masrin, we're not going to make a gzeira about that, to not allow you to eat with them during their periods of tum'ah. But the reason is because when you get back to being tahor, there will be a problem. Now, Ibayiluhu, Nida mahu shitishan imbala hibi bigda behu bibigdo. Question is, with regards to a woman who is in nida, may she sleep with her husband? He's in his clothing, she's in her clothing. Is that okay? Now, the question here revolves around what our Mishnah started with, which is lo yachol zav in a mezavah. The zav and a mezavah should not eat together because they might end up behergel aveira. If they normally eat together, that might lead to them sleeping together, which is problematic. You have the same problem with regards to a nida. A nida is unusual in terms of all the arayot. Nida is listed in the parashat arayot. Nevertheless, it does not have the restriction of yichud. Other arayot, other problematic relationships, person is not allowed to be alone with that individual. For instance, and the Gemara is going to discuss this in a little bit, that one may not be yichud with a married woman. The Gemara will go, or gezerot, even with a pnuya, he may not be alone with a woman because what might happen? So the same should have been true with regards to a husband and wife when his wife is in nida. The Gemara darshins that kosher shani besuga, darshins a pasuk that tells us that despite the fact that she is a nida, the husband is allowed to be miyached with her. That has to do with pat bisalo, the idea that at one point she will be muteret, and therefore we don't worry about it at that time. But it's unusual or an exception to the rule that even though it's a sewer for them to be together, nevertheless they're allowed to be biyichud. Gemara's question extends now and says, okay, now that they're allowed to be biyichud together, how far does that go? What is the extent that we force the separation between a husband and a wife when she's a nida? So the question here is, what about if they sleep together, but they are both clothed? So I'm Rav Yosef Tashma. We bring a sugya from Chulin, which is a uf, ole ima gvina ala shulchan. You can have poultry on the table with cheese. Veinu nechal. Can't eat them together, but they can be on the same table together. Divrei Beit Shammai. Bitilal omer, lo ole velo nechal. You can't put it on the table, and it's not eating. Now Rashi says over here that Beit Shammai holds that basar uf bechalav is lab deoraito. It's not min haTorah. Since it's not min haTorah, so if it's on the same table, at worst, you might eat it. That's only an issur d'rabbanan. On the other hand, implied from Rashi's statement is that Beit Hillel thinks that it is deoraita, that is min haTorah, and therefore, if it's on the table and then you make a mistake and eat it, then you're in violation of an issur d'oraita. But what you see here is that something that is problematic, bird, poultry, and gvina, and cheese, you may not put them together on the table. So when it says, shani hotam deleka deot, over there, you only have one individual involved. A person comes to the table, and there is poultry and cheese on the table. There's nobody there to remind him not to do the wrong thing. So just absentmindedly, he might take from the cheese, from the poultry together, and we don't want that. But here, when we're talking about a nida with her husband, there are two people involved. Each one can remind the other. So achanami mistabra, that makes sense. The echa de iga deot shiny. Makes sense, that distinction that you made, that when there are multiple people, it's different. Diktani seifa. In Chulin, over there, it mentions, Rav Shimon Gamliel omer, shnei achsanayim ochlim al shulchan echad. Two guests at the bed and breakfast can eat together on a single table. Zeichol basar v'zeichol gvina. One of them's eating meat, one of them's eating milk. Over here we're talking about basar and gvina midoraita, and they're allowed to eat on the same table. Vein choshishin, and we don't worry about the fact that one might eat the cheese, one might eat the meat. V'lavit marava. The Gemara goes, wait a minute, that's not so clear. But then we have a qualification of that. Amar Rav Chanin bar Amar, Amar Rav Shmuel lo shanu lo she'im makirim zeh zeh. It's only if they don't know each other. If they are friends or they know each other, asurim, then it's asur. That distinction has to do with the probability that you might actually eat from the other person's food. If you don't know each other and you just happen to be landed at the same bed and breakfast, the same motel, so the fact that you're eating on the same table is only because you are sleeping in the same location, but has no bearing on your friendship, your closeness to each other. And therefore, when you're eating at the table, there's no way you're going to stick your hand out and take some of his food, and he's not going to take any of your food. So there's no question. But that's not true if you're actually friends. If you actually know each other, you're traveling together, and then one of you is eating milk and the other one's eating cheese, then you would end up sharing your food. And that would be problematic. And our Gemara says, that's our case over here. Achanami makirim zedzeninu. Our case by the Nida is that they know each other. They're not just showing up strangers to each other. These are husband and wife, and they know each other as well. So if they know each other, then there should be a necessity for or a separation. So the Gemara now laid out two different situations. There's a situation where we have multiple people. We have multiple people, we assume that they're going to remind each other. But it's only true if they aren't so regular or comfortable with each other. But if they're comfortable with each other, we're back to stage one, which is now there's no designation that tells us or sign that there should be some sort of separation. So the Gemara says is that there has to be some sort of apparent separation over here. You can create that by not knowing each other. That's a separation because it's a natural separation. People who don't know each other don't interact with each other. Now, if you don't have that, then you need something else to create the separation. And that's what the Gemara says over here. By the milk and meat, if you know each other, we're not going to let you eat on the same table. Well, if it's a husband and wife, how can we allow them to be in the same bed together? It says, Achi Ashvi, you can't compare the cases. Hotam deot ika shnu leka. So as I just explained now, that over there by the milk and meat, you have different people, but you have no indication or separation between them. They're comfortable with each other. They would eat from each other's food. That means there is no unique sign here that there should be separation. But in the case of Nida, you have both. You have multiple people, and you have a shinoi over here. What's the shinoi in this case? As Rashi points out, that they're big do and big da. That they're sleeping in their clothing. Normally, they sleep in kiruv basar. In their day, it seems that they were not clothed in their bed. That's not whether they were with their wives or not with their wives. We see that from the brachot that we say in the morning, that they got dressed as they got out of bed. So if in a normal circumstance the husband and wife are together without any clothing, so now our circumstance we're dealing with multiple people, plus we have something now that gives an indication of not being normal. And that is that they are clothed in bed instead of being their bikiruv basar, being naked in bed. And that should be sufficient to indicate that this is different than normal. Ikadam, right? Some have this formulated this way, Tashma, the two guests can eat on the same table, one meat, one milk. We have a qualification of that, that's only if they don't know each other, not come to each other. If they know each other, asur. Our case is a case where the husband and wife know each other. It says, over there, you have multiple people without any distinguishing feature. In our case, by the nida, the husband and wife have both factors. They have two people, plus they have some sort of sign or indication of it being unusual, and that is that they're clothed in bed. So far from the Gemara's assumption until this point, it would be permitted for a husband and wife to be together in bed when she's in Nida, as long as they're clothed. Because then you have Deot, and you have clothing. Tashma. So obviously this sugya is here because of the end of our mission, which is Lo Yochal Zavim Azavam Yishum Hergel Veira. Hachanami Deot Ikosh Einoi Leka. Over there, you're back to the same case as the milk and meat, which is, over there you have multiple people, but you lack any sign or indication that there's something unusual here, that there's something different from normal. So you can't compare that to our case. So Tashma. So then we have the pasuk in Yechezkel, El Arim lo achal beinav lo nasal gilulei beit Yisrael bet eshet reo lo timei velet ishan nida lo yikrav. So here Yechezkel is praising this individual for all these wonderful characters that he has, and over here it's not even so clear what the praise is. Here's this individual. He didn't sleep with his friend's wife. I mean, what type of praise this is this? So the pasuk, or the way Chazal darshan the pasuk, Rashi points out, Elarim lo'achal, we have in Sanhedrin, says that Shloni Parnes v'schut avot, that he doesn't require harim. The Gemara darshan says refers to the avot, and therefore he, Elarim lo'achal, he did not require the schut avot in order to get his parnasa, because he had enough righteousness tzidkut on his own, that's a tzaddik. Vein avlo nasal gilulei beit Yisrael, he didn't look towards those things that were inappropriate. But then now, v'deshet reyu lo timei, that doesn't seem to be the type of accolade that you give to a tzaddik. That's something that you expect from everybody. So the Gemara wants to know, why is that in the pasuk? So the Gemara says, mekish ishyan nidav eshet reyu. The reason that's found there is because there is a parallel or juxtaposition drawn here between his wife who's a nida and his friend's wife. Ma ish Kishit Re'eu Hu Bibigdo Vehi Bibigda Asur. Just like with your friend's wife, if you're clothed and she's clothed, it's still Asur to be together. Af Nishto Nida Hu Bibigdo Vehi Bibigda Asur. So therefore, Shema Mino. From there we can conclude that based on the drasha from the Pasuk, that there is a necessity for separation beyond just having Shtei Deyot, and beyond just having a Shinoi. You need a complete separation when his Ishto is Nida, just like that is the case by his friend's wife. His friend's wife would never consider to have Bibigdo Bibigda, and so too over here. Rashi explains the methodology or the thinking over here. How do you know by Yeshet Rehu? How do you know that by your friend's wife, that Bihu Bibigdo Bibigda, that is considered to be Asur? Why is that a given? So that Rashi explains, Asur lan Yichud min HaTorah. Yichud is Asur min HaTorah. So to be alone with one's friend's wife, that's Asur because of Yichud. The Tosfot doesn't necessarily like the answer. He says, V'hatam svaru l'asur, v'fishi yitzro tokfo mitzgaber alav v'hilter. Tosfot says, what do you need this Yichud midoraita to tell you that you can't be alone with your friend's wife? It says it's logical. It's just common sense. Common sense is that if one is together with his friend's wife in bed, even though hubi big dobi, hubi big da, what type of preventative measure is that? What type of good judgment is that? He says that's just poor judgment. It doesn't make any sense that should be mutar. So he says it's a tzur because it's just common sense that it's a tzur. He says, Virashi perush, that it's a fil yichud nami asur doraita. That even being together alone is a doraita. So certainly laying in bed with their clothes on is asur mi doraita. Tosfot says that, I don't know, vein nira. Demashu shirot el asur yichud binida. Because based on what I express it the way Rashi is explaining, he's saying, well, Yichud is Asur by your friend's wife. Also, to lay in bed with her with your clothing on is Asur, because that's just an extension of Yichud. Well, then, by Nida, you have the same din now. What's the same din? That you can't be in bed together with your clothes on. But if Rashi's right, then the extension of the din should be, you also can't have Yichud with the Nida. Because you're learning from the friend's wife to one's own wife. If that's the case, then Yichud should also be Asur. And Tosfot says that's just not the case. We know that a husband's allowed to be with his wife who's in Nida. And therefore, Tosfot says that he doesn't think Rashi's right, and he says, beyond that, Tema, the Yichud Yisur Min HaTorah, Lo Yofinim Eishadish, Bishari Benida. We don't learn out of Eishadish, and it's Mutar Benida. Number one, we don't learn out that Yichud is also Min HaTorah from Eishadish. If you wanted to bring the example of Yichud Min HaTorah, then you wouldn't have brought the case of Eishadish, because that's not the paradigm for Yichud Min HaTorah. So that's the wrong example to bring down. And number two is, why Yichud by Nida is not a Surah? Allah Tosfot says, midrabanan asur b'dinda mihekesha. So it says, it's just a hekesh between nida to eshadish. And yes, eino chanami, it would have made more sense to have yichud min a hekesh, and to say that he's allowed to be together with his wife when they're clothed, because that's the lesser of the two. That it would have made more sense by Nida to say that it's Isur Yichud, and to leave this Bigdo Bigda alone. By definition, if it's Hubi Bigdo, Behibi Bigda, you're in Biyichud, and you're in violation of Yichud. Tosfot says, no, we'll be a Petach Batuach L'Rishut Rabim. In a case where there's free access, place where there's no Yichud, then he could sleep together with his wife, Bigdo Bigda. Why don't we do that? That's the drush of Chazal, that there's no Yichud by Nida. So even though the more obvious thing to Abi Oser here is Yichud with the Nida, nevertheless, because of the limud from the Pasuk that's Matir, Nida, the Yichud, Rabbi Chazal created the Hekesh between Eishadish and Nida with regards to Bibigdo and Bigda. Even though it's not necessarily the most obvious thing that you would have learned out, but that is the case because Yichud we can't learn out. As opposed to Rashi, who thinks that there's an Isur Yichud min Doraita of Eishadish, and now Chazal are taking that, and this is an extension of Yichud, and they're bringing that over to Nida. Tosafot's objections again are that Yichud Midoraita has no application by Nida. Number two is Yichud Midoraita does not learn out of Eishadish. That's not where we get it from. Right now, the Gemara continues and says, Ufliga de Rabbi Pidat. This argues on the position of Rabbi Pidat. Amar Pidat lo asrat arayot kurva shel gilui arayot bilvad. The Rabbi Pidat says it's only asur when Tashmisha Mita is involved. Without Tashmisha Mishda, there's no other restriction. And that's it. The only problem is tashmish amita. Any other kurva, any other closeness, afilu kiruv basar is only midrabanan. So therefore, he bibigda, bibigdo, afilu midrabanan, you're not going to be gozer over here, because that is going to come out, at least according to Rashi, we're going to end up with a double dirabanan. Because the only thing that is asur midoraita is tashmish amita. So now you'll be oser kiruv basar, which is only midrabanan. And then on top of that, you want to be oser hu bibigdo bibigdo. That's a rabbanan derabbanan. That's a double derabbanan. And that we're not going to restrict. So since that's a double derabbanan, we're not going to make that asur. And therefore, according to Rabbi Padat, it would seem that it is permissible to be together bibigdo bibigdo. And that's what the Gemara is pointing out, that this argues on the position of Rabbi Padat. Tosfot again doesn't like this, because that means Rabbi Padat's arguing on our Mishnah of lo yachol zav and zavah. Lo yachol zav and zavah says that even when it's not involved with tashmish mitah, we still make our achok over there. They're not eating together. They don't eat together, so they don't have kiruv basar, so they don't sleep together. That's already very far-fetched, and we still have a din derabanan. Who's going to say Rabbi Padat argues on our Mishnah? So that can't be the explanation of Rabbi Padat. Mefresh Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam explains Rabbi Padat. Pleaded to Rabbi Padat, came into Astra Torah l'krevashel gilui areil bilvad. Im kein ein lanu l'esor l'gzor l'k'encha sar katuv. Dainu de'ot b'lo shinoi. We should, when we have a din derabanan, this is a general principle that is very important, that the Rabbanan in many cases do ke'in d'oraita. When they create Yisurim, they try not to invent new Yisurim. The Yisurim take a paradigm d'oraita and extend that paradigm d'oraita. The paradigm d'oraita of separation here is it's only in cases where there is deot below shinoi, when there are multiple people without any shinoi. As long as you have a shinoi now, that's not like what the Torah restricted. Since that's not what the Torah is restricted, therefore, we don't worry about it. And that's what Rabbi Padat suggests over here. Rabbi Padat suggests that we only put into position or place dinei d'rabbanan that mimic what the Torah is worried about. The Torah is worried about when you have multiple people and no shinoi. Multiple people with shinoi, Torah doesn't worry about that. But that's exactly what we're worrying about here. We're saying that they can't sleep together, big do, big da. So therefore, even in a case of deyot and shinoi, we're still saying you have to separate. And that's what argues on Rabbi Padat. All right, next, Gemara says, Ula, kavi atimi be raf. Ula, when he used to return from the Beit Midrash, Menashek Lul Achvate used to kiss his sisters, Abe Chadayu, on their chest, Ramila Abe Yadayu, and some say on their arms, on their hands. And that is a contradiction to his own statement. Even to get close to an arayot is asur. Mishom leich leich amre nezira. We say to nezira, korskor the karma loti grav. Go around far away from the vineyard. We don't want the nazir to eat grapes, which are asur for him. So we say, distance yourself. Don't walk to a vineyard. That's just too much temptation. Walk around. Make yourself a distance. So same thing over here. When it comes to arayot, or anything that's kurva, he also says you have to put a distance between you, meaning that there are zerot. So the Gemara is saying, wait a minute, what's going on over here? He's saying that you have to separate, and yet he was kissing his sisters, either on their hands or on their chest. How is that possible? So now, the Gemara doesn't answer the question. The Gemara just leaves it. The truth is, right, Tosafot brings that the Gemara in other places, Gemara in Ketubot, and also I think in the end of Kiddushin, asks this type of question and answers over there, one was his own practice, and the other one was what he was telling for regular people. Regular people shouldn't act this way because they're not going to be able to control their desires. For him, it was a tzaddik gemur, it didn't affect him at all. Tosafot brings the examples from the Gemara in Ketubot that Rabbi Acha used to be markiv la katfei. He used to take the kala on his shoulders and dance around with her. And the Rabbanan said, "What, can we do this also? Can we carry the kala around?" And he said, "No, in my eyes, they're like just picking up a board of wood. In your eyes, they're like, okay, picking up the kala, and that's the problem. There's a big difference between us." Gemara didn't have time here to deal with it. Just mentioning it as a sidebar, but didn't have time to deal with it right now, but here's your answer. It's still, the whole practice is interesting. I understand why Ula maybe kissed his sisters on their hand, and why he had to specifically kiss his sisters on their chest. I'm not sure why it was that a common practice, or was that a way of indicating closeness, but it's interesting that that was his practice, meaning that he could have just kissed them on the cheek, kissed them on the hand. I'm not sure what the exact reason that he did this. All right, now, move on to a story. It's an important story in Hilchot Nida, which is Tana de Be'elio. Maseh v'talmid echad shishana harbe, v'kara harbe. He learned a tremendous amount. He was baki b'tanach, v'shimesh talmid echachamim harbe. So shana is mishnah, kara is tanach, and shimesh talmid echachamim is gemara. So you can see here that the likelihood is that you should change the order, which is kara harbe, which is he first learned a lot of tanach, then shana harbe, which was that he learned a lot of mishnayot, then shimesh talmid echachamim, he learned a lot of talmud. Umet v'chetzi yamav, and he died at a young age. His wife used to carry his tefillin around and go to the shuls and to the bate midrashot. She say to him, it says in the Torah that the Torah is your life and it brings a long life. That he learned lots of Torah, lots of Mishnah. He learned lots of Talmud. Why did he die at half of his life, meaning that he died young? Nobody responded to her. One time, I was a guest with her. And again, she told over this agonizing story about her husband. What's interesting here is that this is a Tana de Bei Eliyahu. So, I don't know if that is Eliyahu. If it's a Tana de Bei Eliyahu, I'm not sure who the Tana is here that says that I was a guest there. So, I don't know if that's Eliyahu Navi or someone else who authored this story. When you were in Nida, what was his position with regards to you? So Amrali, Chas v'Shalom. She says, no way. Afilu be'etzvak tana lo naga. He didn't even touch my pinky. No contact with me whatsoever. Binei libunei ma'uitzlich. When you were during your white days, which is during her Shiva Niki'im, and the time that she's waiting to become Tohor, what was his position with regards to you? Achalimi b'shataimi. He ate with me. He drank with me. V'yashani mi b'kiru basar. And he slept with me b'kiru basar without clothing on. V'lo alta dato davar acher. But he never had bia with me. V'amartila baruch ha-magom shehargo. Hashem did the right thing by killing him. Shelo nasa panim l'torah. Because he didn't follow the Torah. Sheharei amra Torah v'elisha b'nidat tumata lo tikrav. That a person may not get close to a isha b'nidat tumata. Kiyata Rav Dimi explained Amar mitach adahavai, that they were together in a single bed. But Amar Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yosef sinar mafsik beino lebeina, put some sort of clothing or cloth or sheet between them, and that was it. And that was not sufficient because of this requirement of Yisham Bidat Tumatalo Tikrav, which says that until she goes to the mikveh, she's a nida. Even though she ceases to see any flow, she's still a nida until she either has Shiva Nikim or until she goes to the mikveh. Until that happens, she is not Tehorah. She's not Tehorah. She still has a classification of nida. And just like he acted with her with regards to her Binei Nidotech, he should have acted with her when in the time of her Libonech. There should be no distinction between when she's a nida and when she is waiting for her Sfira, when she's doing her Shiva Nikim, because she's a Nida until she goes to the Mikveh. If that's the case, there shouldn't be a differentiation. The fact that he changed how he acted with her was wrong. And that was the problem over here. Now, two interesting Tosfos here. I'll do the second one first, which is, over here it says you're not allowed to be together in a single bed with the woman. We have the story in Shmuel Aleph with regards to David and Michal, that David was married to Michal technically because Shaul gave her, and then he took it away and gave her to Palti ben Laish. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Palti ben Laish, even though he was given to Michal as a wife by Shaul, he didn't want to violate the Isur Min HaTorah if she was possibly married to David, and therefore he slept in a bed together with her, but Na'atz Cherev, put a sword between them so that they should not cross over. But what do you see? They were in a bed together. How could it be that they were in a bed together? Here the Gemara says, being in a bed together, that's not allowed. So Tosfot gives two interesting answers. One is that number one, Petach Patuach L'Rishut Rabim Haya. It was a Petach Patuach L'Rishut Rabim, and therefore there was no Yichud problem, and he put the Cherev there, and that was okay. The other answer is that Shema Savur Shaul. Maybe he held like Shaul. Makloket, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin as to whether they were married or not, because Mekadesh B'milveh B'pruta, whether it works or not. So he held like Shaul that she wasn't married to David, and he could have married her. But to be extra careful, he never slept with her, so that's why he put the cherub there. So he held like Shaul, and that's why he was allowed to be together with her, but he put the cherub there to prevent anything from happening. The more important one is the upper Tosfot, which is Two things that he says. First of all, Rabbeinu Tam says, Perish Shayu Rigilim, the women in their daily book Shtei Tvilot. They used to go to the mikveh twice. Achat Asof Shiv'a the Riyata, Shitora Midoraita. They used to go after the 7 days of Nida, which is when they become Torah Midoraita, because Minat Torah, you only have to wait 7 days in Nida, and it's over.
Yes, of course.
But then we have the Chumrah that we spoke about in Nida, again in the Gemara Brachot as well. But notice Yolich Miratzman, that they made themselves into a Zavag Dolan, they wait Shivanakim. That's only Midra Rabbanan. So they go, used to go once to the Mikveh after 7 days, and then they used to go to the Mikveh again at the end of their Shivanakim. So that what caused the confusion over here, that he was Mekil after she went to the Mikveh the first time, didn't wait for to go to the mikveh the second time. Whereas in our time, the women don't go to the mikveh the first time, therefore they're full-fledged nidot until they complete their shivnikiyim, because until they go to the mikveh, you can't remove the din of nidah. So Rabbeinu Tam claims in their day, the difference was that it dropped from being a din d'oraita to a din rabbanan because she went to the mikveh after 7 days. Today we don't have that. Ours remains at a level d'oraita of nidah because she never goes to the mikveh. But that's why he was mekil over there. That's number one. Number two is he tells a story. Rashi, you know, Isur lo shit mafteach miyodoli adabi meini luta. Rashi was like not to pass a key from himself to his wife when she was a nida. And then the Tosfot tries to bring proofs from different places in Shas. He says he doesn't think that any of those are proofs. So he says, I don't have any raya to what Rashi did min a gemara or from the midrashei halacha that one is not allowed to pass a key from husband to wife. Doesn't reject the practice, but he says, I don't have any proof to that. Which brings us to the actual dinim with regards to nida. The archokot that come with nida really fall into three categories. And we bumped into some of them here, and some of them are now mentioned in this Tosafot. There are three categories of archokot. There's certain harchakot which are preventative measures because they are too close for comfort. That is, for instance, our case here. Hubi big dobi, hibi big da. If they're clothed in bed together, there's too much risk that they're going to end up sleeping together. That's just too big a chance, too big a risk. And therefore, anything that's derech chiba, anything that is done, which is involves physical contact or derech chiba, that is restricted during Yimei Niduta. That would be, again, sleeping in bed together, hugging, kissing. Anything that involves physical contact that could lead to more than that is restricted. And that we saw here in our Gemara, that hubi big dov, hubi big da, that is restricted. There's another set of restrictions that have to do with things that a woman does only for her husband. Certain things that a wife would only do or take care of her husband. In their day, there were certain things like servicing or bringing, whether it was bringing water, bringing wine, bringing his shoes, certain things that are only done by a wife for a husband, making the bed, setting up the pillows, certain things that are unique between a husband and wife. There, even though there's not the physical contact, but because they engender a certain amount of closeness and love, those are restricted because of their unique standing as being something that is particular to a husband and wife. There's a third category of harchakot, which are simply to remind oneself that she's b'meini duta. That's what's described here in the Rashi, in the Tosafot, which is that he didn't pass a key to his wife. Passing a key to his wife, we're not talking about a case here where we're talking about physical contact, where they're touching hands together, because that could be a problem, and that we mentioned over here, that it says here by the Tanit Be'elio, that he didn't even touch her pinky when she was in Nida. All right, that's physical contact. Over here, we're talking about passing a key when there is no physical contact. But the problem there is that we need a significant sign or an indication that this is different than normal. And the different than normal is to have these shinuim that we don't pass directly. So those are the three categories of harchakot that we practice today. Harchakot that deal with anything that is too close for comfort, which is anything that might lead to biyah, that's hubi bigdo, hibi bigda, anything like hugging, kissing, anything like that. Second category of archakot, which is anything that's unique to a wife, to a husband, so therefore she shouldn't perform those activities for the husband because it engenders a love, a closeness that shouldn't be done during their main nidah. When her husband's not present, she can't do those things. For instance, if a woman makes the beds for her husband when he's not there, that's not a problem. It's only when she does it in front of him that those become a problem. And the last category is a shinoi, to make it different, that you're not in your normal course of activity, so you remember that there's something different here, which is what we saw before with the basar b'chalav. They have to do something that's unique. Same thing, if you eat on a table together with a member of your family, milk and meat, you have to make a heker. You have to do something that indicates that you're different, because it can easily exchange. You have to put up something between you. You have to change, put something unusual on the table, put a flower on the table, put the napkin holder between you, whatever it is that's different than normal to indicate that there's a separation. That which applies to Basar V'Chalav also applies to Nida, but for a different reason. Like we say in our Mishnah, Le'yochal Zabim Zava, because we want to take you out of your normal course of behavior. And so we do things that are unusual. They don't necessarily engender love. They don't necessarily lead to sleeping together, but we want to change your normal activities and your daily routine in order to indicate that this is different than we have a nida here. So those are the three categories of harchakot, and any harchakot that is halacha you can place into those categories. And now the next mishnah: ve'elu min halachot shamru baliyat Hananya ben Chizkiyah ben Garon. These are amongst the halachot that were said over in the aliyah of this individual Hananya ben Chizkiyah ben Garon, who we'll meet in a minute. Shalu l'bakro, they came to visit him. Nimnu v'rabu beit Shammai beit Hillel, that came to account over there, and the Beit Shammai exceeded Beit Hillel on that day. V'yudchet devarim gazru bo b'yom. And on that day, they were gozer 18 items. Right. So they're very productive on that day. But the question in the Mishnah is, what's the connection between all three of these three issues? So most of them in Farshim, and we're going to see this in the Gemara in a second, connect all the issues together. And we're going to read that now in the Gemara, and then I'll come back and explain that. Amalei Abai the Rav Yosef, Eilutnan o ve'eilutnan. Is the Mishnah start out with a vav, or does it start out with the out of vav? So he says, ve'eilutnan, does it have a vav, the hani damran, that we already mentioned? Things we've already mentioned in the Mishnah, those are amongst these items. O eilutnan, which is that we're making a clean break from what's before, and those that are coming up, the mean and the meimar lekaman, those are included in the 18 items. Tashma, ein polim lor aner, ve'ein korin lor aner, ve'eilu min alachot shemru b'liyat chaniyah ben chizkiyah ben ron, shmaina ve'eilutnan. So we have a breita that suggests that one may not pick off lice, lor aner, or read the lor aner, and then it continues straight into ve'eilu min alachot. So there you see there is a vav, and here the vav is functioning as a vav achibur. Vav achibur says that it's a continuation of the previous Mishnah, and the two items in the previous Mishnah amongst the items that they brought together alachot in the aliyah of Hananya ben Chizkiyah ben Garon. So that will be amongst those items. Eilutznan, without the vav achibur, would be a separation but a clean break. Tosfot asks right away, the Torah is replete with a vav, and it's a vav achiluk. The Torah always starts out vav, and so the Torah uses vav as a chiluk, not as vav as a chibur. So over here, how could you suggest that vav is a chibur? And they've had a different girsa in the Gemara, and their girsa flipped it. Because of this, there is some controversy as to what's happening in our Mishnah. You could say that our Mishnah is all one item. It says, these are the halachot that happened in Aliyat Hananya ben Chizkiyah. That's the same location where Beit Shammai exceeded Beit Hillel. And that's the 18 gezeirot. They're all one thing. So that means you have to come up now with 18 items that were done in the Aliyat Hananya ben Garon, which was a case where Beit Shammai exceeded Beit Hillel in that case. So that's the way that the Bartanura explains this Mishnah. He counts 18 items, starting with the two from the previous Mishnah. And then we'll have an additional 16 that lay out in the Gemara. We're going to come to about 9 of them today, and then through the Gemara we'll follow out the rest. The Rambam, on the other hand, has an unbelievable Shita. The Rambam says there are actually 3 sets of 18 over here. 3 sets of 18. There's 18 that are all the Mishnayot till this Mishnah. All the Mishnayot that we've seen in Shabbat until this point in time have 18 halachot. And those are 18 halachot that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agreed about. Then we have another 18 items that are a case where Nimnu, and they found that Beit Shammai exceeded Beit Hillel, and they were gozer the 18. Those 18 have nothing to do with our Mishnah. Those 18 are the ones listed in the Gemara. We're going to get them in the Gemara. Then, subsequent to this Mishnah, there are another 18 items in the Mishnayot where Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai argued in the Mishnayot. And so the Rambam has 3 sets of 18. Yes, the Eilu min halachot, that there are halachot that were said, the gzeirot, which are all in our Gemara, but they have 18 in the Mishnayot before, 18 in the Mishnayot afterwards, and they have nothing to do with these gzeirot. The Meiri has
4th set of 18, which are throughout Shas. There are 18 places where the Mishnah says, Mode Beit Shammai v'Beit Hillel, that they both agree, and it's stated specifically in the Mishnah. The Tiferet Yisrael also has a Yeshomim that brings another set or count of 18, which he rejects. But it's interesting to see the different lists of 18 that the Rishonim and Achronim come up with.
Again, I'll send out the chart. You can see the different numbers of the 18 or how they come up with the 18 here. But it's important to note that there was another Gersa in our Mishnah, which also has impact, because whether it's Be'elu or Elu, that would make a difference as to whether the first two that are in the previous Mishnah count towards the 18 or don't count towards the 18, depending on what you think the Gersa is in our Mishnah. Alright, Tanu Banan. Mi Katav Megillat Tanit. Who was the author of Megillat Tanit? Now, Megillat Tanit is one of the Masechtot of the Gemara, but it was called a Megillah because it was kept, it was rolled up as a Megillah, and it was also written down, which with the other parts of Torah Shebaal Peh, they were not written down. Megillat Tanit was written down in order to remember everything that happened. Amru Hananya ben Chizkiah v'siyato. Hananya ben Chizkiah was mentioned in our Mishnah. Him and his compatriots, they wrote it. Sheyu mechavavim et hatzarot. They used to love difficulties. Now, that's not literally they loved difficulties, but they loved when Hashem saved them from difficulties. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, af anu milchavavim et hatzarot. We also love to be saved from difficulties. Aval ma na'aseh shim banu lichtov en anu maspikim. If we write down all the things that Hashem saves us from, we wouldn't have enough space. In their day, you know, it was here and there, they had these things where Hashem intervened and saved them from some difficult situation, and then they made those into yomim tovim. But if we were to do that, it would make every day into Yom Tov. And so Rashi says there'd be either because the tzarot are all the time, or we can't make every day into Yom Tov. We'll never be working anymore. We'll never have any day that's not a Yom Tov. Davar acher ein shoten nifga. The other way to look at it is that we don't even recognize. We don't see what Hashem is doing for us because we are, in a sense, fools, and we don't even see that there's something wrong that Hashem is rectifying. And the same thing, davar acher ein basar meit margish bizmel, that the dead skin doesn't feel the knife. In is that true, that the decomposition of the body is difficult to someone who's died, like a needle going through a person's skin who's alive. The way I translated it before, which is that dead skin on a live person does not feel the knife. But both of those indicate that we don't necessarily recognize all the goodness Hashem does for us. And that I said over when we did this in the Gemara earlier, that Hashem saves us many times from Tzarot, and Atid Lavo, it says that we will recognize Hashem, and along with us, the other Amim will be there.
The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Halulu et Hashem kol goyim, shabchuhu kol ha'amim, ki gavar leinu chasdo, v'yemet Hashem neolam haluluka. So, ki gavar leinu chasdo, that Hashem did chesed for us. What does that have to do with the first pasuk, which is Halu et Hashem kol goyim shabchuhu kol amim? What do the other nations have to do with the chesed that was done to Klal Yisrael? Why will they sing shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
Rav Yitzhak Meponovich says, I heard this over in Bashem, Rabbi Willig, from my brother-in-law, why do we need the other nations to recognize what Hashem did? It's because the other nations are the only ones who know what they planned to do that Hashem thwarted. We don't know what Hashem thwarted because we don't even know what was going to happen. But the other nations who knew what they wanted to do and Hashem thwarted those plans, they are the ones who can really tell us and help us to praise Hashem for all that went well. The same thing over here. It's too much for us. We can't recognize all the things that have happened. So now, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Marav, Baram, Zachur, Oto, Ishtu, Tov. This Hananya ben Chizkiah, we have to give him a lot of credit because Hananya ben Chizkiah Shmo, Shimaleihu, Nignaz Sefer Yechezkel. Without him, Yechezkel would have been put into Gnizah. Shayud Varav Sutrim Divrei Torah. The problem is that Sefer Yechezkel has within it things that seem to go against the Torah, and therefore they wanted to put in Gnizah because they didn't know what to do with it. Masa, what did he do? Helulo, Gimel Meod Garbe Shemen. They took him out 300 barrels of oil. Yeshab Aliyah Darshan, oil for eating and oil for light. And he sat there and he was Doresh them. And that's what our Mishnah says, that they went to visit him in the Aliyah. While he was fixing or trying to figure out what was going on with the Sefer Yechezkel, they came to visit him, and that's when all these halachot came together. Now, some of the examples over there are, it says that a Kohen may not eat a treifa and a nevela. What do you mean a Kohen may not eat a treifa and a nevela? Nobody can eat a treifa and a nevela, so why does the Yechezkel only say a Kohen? The Gemara in Menachot answers because the Kohen does Malika on the bird, which outside of Kodesh is a problem with a nevela treifa. So if the Malika is done improperly, or if he does Malika outside of the Mikdash, he is more likely to bump into problems with nevela and treifa. So that's how the Gemara answers it there. There are other stirot over there that have to be dealt with. There are karbonot that don't exist in the Torah. And the Gemara in some places speaks about it. Some of them trying to reconcile them with the Torah. A number of these prakim are haftarot, in Sefer Vayikra because it deals with Parshat HaKohanim. And so we actually do read these, even though they, quote unquote, soter the Torah. We read them because of Hananiah ben Chizkiah, who was able to explain these different stirot in Sefer Yechezkel. Okay, Ushmona Asar Davar Gazru. They were Gozer 18 items. Mein Hinu Ushmona Asar Davar. What are the 18 items? Titznan. Now we have a Mishnah. The Gemara is going to quote a Mishnah from Zavin, which contains within it 9 items. So it's obviously not all of the 18. So that's what I said before. You have to come up with the count of the 18. Here's 9. If you count the 2 from the previous Mishnah, you're up to 11. And then we'll go through the Gemara. I'll point them out as we cross over them in the next couple of days. We'll bump into them, the remainder of the 18 items. But here, at least here, are 9 of the items, which is Elu Puslimit Truma. These items, these things, if someone does them, they make you pasul for Truma. Ochel Ochel Rishon. Somebody eats a food that is a Rishon the Truma, then they may not then come into contact with Truma. Ochel Ochel Sheni. Someone who eats a Ochel that is a Sheni the Truma also may not come into contact with Truma. For Shotem Mashkim Tmeim. Anybody who drinks liquids that are tamei, they may not come into contact with Truma. Again, the Gemara will go through each of these, explain them. Someone who takes basically a bath is also problematic for Truma. The problem was in their day that the mikvaot were water that was captured from the rainy season, and the water that was captured from the rainy season over the summertime became putrid and disgusting. So how do you become tor? You go to the mikveh. So they were going into the mikveh, but the mikveh was disgusting, and afterwards they'd go take a bath. They'd jump into some clean water. So what were they saying? They were saying that what was making them tor? The clean water, not the mikveh. So because of that, the chachamim made 2 gzirot. One is, about rosh rubo b'mayim shuvim, someone whose robe is body as rosh goes into waters that were drawn waters, not mikveh waters, he made an chuma. But tefor, shenaflu arosh rubo, shlosha lugim mayim shuvim. Or a person who's tor, that has 3 lug of water poured over him, that are mayim shuvim, that are drawn water, both of those make him pasul the chuma. But sefer, says again later on, that any sefer kodesh is mitameh et hayadayim, makes it problematic for truma. Vehayadayim, your stam yadayim are considered to be tmeim. Vatvul yom, someone has a tvul yom, this doesn't count as one of them. The Gemara is going to ask, tvul yom is a din d'oraita. Tvul yom may not eat in truma mina Torah. Bochlim vakelim shnitmeu b'mashkim, foods or utensils that became tmei b'mashkim, which are also only tuma d'rabanan. Over there, you may not have them come into contact with truma. So there, we just listed 9 items that they were gozer on. Mantana. Now the Gemara is going to go back and investigate each of these items. Mantana ochel ochel rishon ochel ochel sheni mitzab psulei mitumu elo mitamu. Who's the author of the position that if you eat a food that is a rishon the tuma, if you eat a food that is a sheni the tuma, that then you may not eat truma, you make truma pasul, but you don't make it tamel. This is a terminology that we've seen before in kodashim and in tarot, that if you say pasul, it means that's the end of the line. You make something tamei, but it cannot pass the tumah further. On the other hand, if you say tamei, it means that you make the next item tamei, and it can pass tumah on. So over here, when you say that it's poselet to tumah, it means that's the end of the line. Tumah goes down to a shlishi, a third level of tumah. So therefore, if you're going to make something into a third level of tumah, that's the end of the line for tumah. That means that anything in our mission that we just brought is a sheni the tumah. It has the qualities of sheni the tumah, because it's only going to make tumah pasul. So who is the author that says if you eat a food that is a rishon l'tumah, and you eat a food that's a sheni l'tumah, you are only a sheni l'tumah, and therefore you'll only be posel tumah and not make it tamei. I'm Rabbi Bachana, Rabbi Yeshua. It's got to be Rabbi Yeshua. This is based on a mishnah that we saw in Chulin, which is Titznan. Rabbi Lezer Omer Ochel Ochel Rishon Rishon. Someone who eats a rishon l'tumah v'ochel, he himself is a rishon l'tumah. Ochel Ochel Sheni. If you eat a sheni l'tumah food, then you are a sheni. Ochel Shlishi Shlishi. If you eat a shlishi l'tumah, then you are a shlishi. It's very clear. Rabbi Eliezer says, whatever you eat, that's what you become. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Ochel Ochel Rishon Ve Ochel Sheni Sheni. If you eat a Rishon the Tumah of Ochel or a Sheni the Tumah, something that's a first level or second level Tumah food, then you yourself become a Sheni the Tumah, which is exactly what we have in the Mishnah in Zavin, which is that whether it's a Rishon the Tumah or Sheni the Tumah, it only makes you into a Sheni the Tumah. Shlishi, if you eat a Shlishi the Tumah, Sheni the Kodesh. And if you eat a Shlishi the Tumah, it makes a second level of Tumah the Kodesh. Bein sheni l'truma. But for truma, it makes no difference. Because chulin shenasu atarot truma. And it has no impact in terms of truma. And number three is, chulin ends at sheni l'truma. This is something we described before, which is that in terms of levels of truma, for chulin, the last level is sheni l'truma. For truma, the last level is shlishi l'truma. For kodesh, the last level is revi'i l'truma, fourth level of truma. And for paraduma, it's even a fifth level of truma. So what the Mishnah is saying here in the position of Rabbi Yeshua is, if you eat a rishon l'truma or sheni l'truma, which is possible in chulin, you become a sheni l'truma midrabanan, and you'll be posel the truma, which is you'll make it a shlishi l'truma by truma. If you eat a shlishi l'truma, wait, shlishi l'truma, you can't eat for chulin. There is no shlishi l'truma. So it's chulin shenasu al tarat truma. It was chulin that they used to treat with the same deference as truma. It's also chulin shenasu al tarat kodesh. We saw that before in the Rashi, that you can do chulin with deference to kodesh, which means that you would even be makbid on fourth level tumah. So over here, he says in the mission, the only way you'll get to a third level of tumah, if it's chulin that was done with deference to truma. And doing that, you'll get to a third level of tumah. That third level of tumah has no impact in terms of truma, because it's already a third level of tumah, but has impact in terms of kodesh. But not only has it an impact in terms of kodesh, that it makes a revi, but it also goes back, it's a reset, and becomes a rishon. And the reason it becomes a rishon of tumah is because, in other places we say, if you're makbid on tumah for truma, that's not a kodesh for kodesh. They are separate silos. If you're only makbid on tumah for chulin, that's not good enough for truma, that's not good enough for kodesh. If you're makbid on tumah for truma, that's not good enough for kodesh. And therefore, if someone was makbid on the tumah in terms of truma, by kodesh, he still is the thing is completely tameh. It's as if we have no information about it because he was only focused on truma. Kodesh is his own category, you have to have in mind for kodesh. So that's what happens over here. If he eats a third level of tuma, which was chulin, shenasu tarat truma, it has no impact in terms of truma, but it has impact in terms of kodesh. But impact in terms of kodesh, it's reset to be a rishon l'truma. It's reset to be a rishon l'truma because kodesh, what you did for truma, has no impact or no benefit to kodesh. Right, we'll stop over here. The Gemara is going to explain the gzeira in a minute, and that goes further down the daf. So we'll get back to it tomorrow. Okay, we'll stop here.